Dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful opportunity to have come into the kingdom of God and got to know you. So Father, this morning as we share the word with your people, Father, I pray that it blesses them, it encourages them. And Father, we're looking forward to a new year, and we want this new year to be full of you more than anything else. In Jesus' name, amen. Say this with me. Father, I thank you that I obeyed and came to church this morning to hear a word from you that I need for the rest of this week, this month, and this coming year, and forever. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you're here, you can say you were led by the Spirit. What about those that ain't here? We'll just leave them alone. I started the message last Sunday morning, and I want to finish it. And I want to deal with the purpose of His calling you into the kingdom. There isn't one of you here, if you're not born again and you're not part of the kingdom of the family of God, one of the things that God wants you to do is become a part of the family. To be initiated into the kingdom of the Heavenly Father. And that's very important. And along with that comes a leading of the Spirit in your life. And as I said last week, many churches are not teaching that there even be a leading of the Spirit. And a lot of believers are attending church. But when you attend church, it's for the purpose of receiving a word from God so that you can take it and go outside these walls and live what God has given you. Now, even though you hear the same thing, when I was in your place, I wasn't pastoring or teaching, but when I sat where you sat, and I didn't really partake of the pulpit, so to speak, when I went to church every Sunday, I enjoyed it simply because I knew that even though I had heard something previously, that God had a special word for me that week for me. And that's why. How many of you have missed services or missed church and you felt it? You know, you feel a lack within you that you're missing something, even though you have your own private time with the Lord and Word, but there's something about gathering together and having a special impartation of the Word of God for your life that week. And that's why it's so important that we be committed to hearing the Word of God. And I want to make a bold statement today that every one of you that has come into the kingdom of God, you were called into the kingdom of God with God's purpose on your life. How many of you really believe that? Now, some of you might not feel that you've been called with purpose in your life, but every one of us have been called with purpose. That's why the Bible is very clear that once you're born again, you become a member of the entire body of Christ. You are members even in particular, which is referring more to a local assembly. Now, the world on the outside doesn't have the same privilege that we have on the inside because our fraternity is not of this world. It's of the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want to make a bold statement here. That when we came into the kingdom of God, the first thing that we should have learned more than anything else is that we are not to live by what we see, we are to live by what we believe. You see, a lot of people outside of the church structure, they have a belief system working in them, but I guarantee you it's all by what they saw. And when we come into the kingdom of God expresses a different message to us. It gives us an understanding that is many times contrary to what we see naturally, or it should be that way. Have you ever wondered why the faith message is so criticized and so down-talked? Because it's not an easy venture to having come out of the world by being motivated by everything that you see and coming into a kingdom now that you are not to be motivated by what you see, but by what you believe. And that is a strange way of walking. The first time I was told that I am to obey the word of God despite of what I saw, how many of you felt that was strange to you? It was sure strange to me. You know, you mean to tell me now that I've got to say I'm healed when I'm not? Are you following what I'm saying? So the kingdom of God is so different than what people give it credit for. And I got news for you. One thing about walking with the Lord in our generation, our time period, is the fact that we are connected to a kingdom. And that kingdom is connected to us. And the Holy Spirit is its link up. So we have a connection with the kingdom of heaven, even though we live on planet Earth. Not everyone who is in the kingdom of God really understands that connection or that linked up with God. But God is there for us, and He wants to see to it that our life is generated in such a way that we would succeed in life and not fail. How many can say amen? Now, did you notice that when God approached Abraham in the Old Testament, He approached him and He said, "Abraham, I understand you're a man that wants a family. You want to leave descendants in your life. And I understand what you're after." He says, but God said, "I want a family too." And He says, "But my kingdom is not of this world." He says, "I'll tell you what, let's cut a deal together, you and I. I'll give you children after the flesh, but I want sons after the Spirit." How many of you are following what I'm saying? So let's cut a deal. Well, they went ahead and they cut this covenant together. And this covenant was predicated for all nations, not just a single nation. But out of this covenant cutting, Abraham had inherited a physical nation called Israel, or the Jewish nation, so to speak. And I thought it was very interesting that God said, now that we're going to come into this kind of a covenant of agreement here, and we're going to walk together, and you're going to be father of this nation, He says, there's one thing I want to let you know about, and usually a lot of ministers don't capitalize on this fact. He says, I got to give you a little insight about this particular nation that's going to come out of your loins. And Abraham says, oh yeah, what about it? He says, they are going to transgress. They're going to make mistakes. You know, I'm just paraphrasing everything without us going into scripture and into detail of everything. I know that's not like me, but anyway. So he says, this nation that's going to come out of your loins, he says, they're going to go into captivity. And he says, they're going to go into captivity for 430 years. And he says, I will allow that simply on the basis that the iniquity of the other nations are not complete. So in other words, God wanted to work with all nations all along, and yet their iniquity had not come to completion. He says, but when their iniquity becomes full, then I will release this nation that you father on the world. And I will be glorified in that. Now, one thing that people don't understand about the God of the Old Testament is the way that He did things. And I like what Kenneth Hagin once said. He said, God spoke in the causative sense a lot of times. Now, when you read a lot of things, you think that God pre-planned everything that happened. But I'm going to make a bold declaration to you. And then till you understand what the true sovereignty of God is, you could be highly misled in understanding the sovereignty of God. First of all, if you want to talk about the sovereignty of God, His first line of sovereignty is that mankind has the right to choose his destiny. But here's the problem that mankind has in choosing their own destiny. They are making choices in a fallen world. Do you guys know what fallen world means? It means that someone made a mistake and we all inherited someone's mistake. Are you following me? And one of the things God does not want to do is he does not want to rebound back to man and say, okay, now that Adam and Eve messed up, you all had it. That is not where God comes from. God's love always tries to reach out to humanity to bring as many as he can back into that place where they belong with him. And one thing about that you never hear too much teaching about is the fact that the sovereignty of God literally gives man the right to choose his own destiny. That is the first act of sovereignty that God gave us, in spite of us. Now the problem with that portion of sovereignty is, in that case, if it's predicated on election or choice, the word election is actually choice. Remember that, Lindsay? Because she was going to a Bible school where they taught the absolute sovereignty of God, and you have no choice in what you choose to do, if I remember that's correct. And my daughter had a hard time with that, so she came and hit me with the old question, you know, Dad, what about this election? And I says, well, the word election there really is kind of a misleading word. Really, the word there in the Greek is choice. So God's sovereignty, first of all, settles with the issue that a man has a choice. And in that choice, there's where the election is found. Are you following me? Now, one thing about the nation of Israel, even though it was established in their father Abraham, that nation didn't know what it was meant to walk like their father did. He was the one that discovered what it meant to live by faith. It wasn't Moses' house, it was Abraham's house that literally had discovered a walk of faith. You can't walk by what you see. And you know something? I want you to think about that. Here you are living in this realm, not even aware that you're a spiritual being having a soul and living in this body, but everything that you're associated with is through your senses. Can I hear an amen? And of course, Wednesday night, we're not teaching anymore, but when man fell, the sensual mind was birthed into Adam and Eve, and that's where that sensual mind came from. Other than that, Adam and Eve lived out of their spiritual being. And the body was just a vehicle through which they made contact with this realm. But literally in the Hebrew it says when Adam was formed of the dust of the ground and God breathed into him lives, plural, that which is of the spirit and of the flesh. It says in our translations, it says, and he became a living soul. But actually in the Hebrew, it says he became a speaking spirit. And so therefore he had what he needed to make contact with this realm, because this realm was created for mankind to live out of it. Are you following what I'm saying? Well, after Abraham and Jesus had consummated this covenant, and the nation of Israel came into being, sure enough, what had happened is they then became a prisoner in the land of Egypt, and as a nation, they grew up in Egypt as slaves. And as a result of that, can anybody give me an idea of what was the main reason that nation ended up as slaves in another country? Can anybody define any one reason why they ended up there? I'm going to tell you what. When I went into the Bible and started reading how they ended up there, I got really, really bombarded with this word. I'll spell it out to you so that it doesn't go over your head. It's called M-I-S-T-A-K-E-S. Mistakes. How many of you have made mistakes since you've been born again? Oh, come on. Some of you are sitting there. If you've made a mistake since you've been born again, I got my hand up. None of us are without mistakes. And so we got a nation in Egypt that made a whole lot of mistakes. So how did they get there? Multiple mistakes. And every one of you this morning can say the same thing. I really messed up. But you know what God does? He don't care about your mess ups. He wants to know about your rising up. He don't care about your mess ups. He wants your step up. You see, you cannot take your life and look at it as something that God is no longer interested in or He's finished. And I got news for you. Including myself, every one of us here this morning, within the sound of my voice, every one of you have a portion or an allotment that you inherited from this world. And it's called low, low, low self-esteem. Every one of us has got it to a degree. And you don't think the devil doesn't want to capitalize on that? He doesn't want you to really know why your purpose of being called into the kingdom, what it's really all about. But thank God the Word of God tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, what the real purpose of the kingdom of God is all about in calling you into His kingdom. And even though the nation of Israel became slaves in the land of Egypt, and even though they made myriads and myriads of mistakes, God did not forget them. You might have made a whole bunch of mistakes in the past, but I got news for you. God doesn't forget who you are. You're His and you belong to Him. Are you understand what I'm saying? But I got news for you. When He delivered you out of Egypt, He sometimes, God, take time to get Egypt out of you. Because every time that first generation, when they came out of the land of Egypt, you know what they'd always, they'd murmur and they'd gripe and complain constantly. And you know what always came out of their mouth on several occasions? When did God, we were back in Egypt. There's where we had fig trees and pomegranate. We had food, but you forgot you were a slave when you were back in that place. Your life was not your own. And God was trying to lead them out to show them they had a life of their own. Amen. And not to be slaves. And so they come after one battle after another. And what'd they do? Well, according to Hebrews there, he says the one thing that kept them out of the blessings of God is they had unbelief. Yeah. They're full of unbelief. Now, how many of you, do you know that every one of you in this building, I guarantee you, before this week's out, every one of you are going to face a test or a trial. How do I know that? Well, I didn't get a word from God. I've lived here too long. I know what this life has got to offer. You know what's got to offer? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But you know what? This life has opportunity. It might not have a whole much to offer you, but it's got a lot of whole opportunity here just for you. Why? Because you've got a promise that God has created His finest work in you so that you can be an example to everybody of what it means to live like a Christian in a dead, fallen world and succeed. But the church history that we've accumulated now, nowadays, the sinner, he looks at an unbeliever, or he looks at a believer and says, well, what advantage have they got over me? Matter of fact, why do bad things happen to Christians? Well, I don't know. Maybe God just ticked off at you, doesn't like you. I surely don't want to be a part of that generation that came out of Egypt, that every time I run into conflict in this world, I don't have a God that I can turn to and trust in to help me out of it. He didn't say, be of good cheer, for I have delivered you out of the conflict of the world, so rejoice. Some Christians seem to think just because they're Christians, things shouldn't happen to them. Why? Because I'm a Christian. I found the devil don't care what kind of title you got. He wants to know what you do behind the title. When Jesus appeared to me in the park many, many years ago, the first thing he says, he wanted me to have the same wisdom the devil had. That didn't make sense to me back then. Oh, I know what he means now. But when he appeared, he said a few things. Jesus is not much of a talker, but what he does say, you better pay attention to. He said, my son, be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Turned around and walked off. And I need to know about that first world, that fall of that first world. I want to know how Revelation is going to end up. I need a whole lot of other things other than that. Because I couldn't even relate to what he did tell me. But you know what? God doesn't speak to you in time. He speaks to you for eternity. And see, that's why we don't run, we take things for granted when we read in the Word of God, such as eternal life. You know what eternal life means? It means when God has a voice for you, it is not for a temporal cause, it's for an eternal cause. Everything He tells you is for an eternal purpose. Oh, but we got this thing. Well, you know, the sovereignty of God, I'm a puppet on some strings and whatever He moves, that's what I'll do. You know what that's called? Copping out on the responsibility of you having a right to choose what is right from what is wrong. And so the nation of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt, and they ran into their first conflict, they went right away, they went to Moses and said, hey, this is a test that we're supposed to pass. Good. Moses, how are we going to pass this test? Now, you know that's a lie. I didn't say that. They went to Moses and said, hey, why did God drag us out here to take us and kill us? Now, none of you all thought that since you've been called into the kingdom. But I'll tell you what, Satan is so sharp because his wisdom is of this sensual world. It has nothing to do with that world that's beyond this world. That's where his wisdom comes from, is what you're motivated by, what you see, is where his wisdom will kick in and motivate you by what you go by if it isn't by faith. You know what? You want to confuse the devil? Walk by faith and you will throw him for a thither. Well, how did you work on Joe Central over there? He changed. He's no longer moved by his senses. He's moved by this inner man. And everything comes out of the mouth of the Holy Ghost. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do with that guy? Hey, we can't do anything with him until he changes his mind. You know, the world is looking for Jesus. They just can't recognize Him. So what was the first thing that happened when they came out of Israel? What was the first thing that happened? What was the first conflict they had? We need water! Did God ever say in His Word, oh, Moses, I forgot all about that. Gee, I really messed up on that one, Moses. They murmured and complained. And you know what? God didn't have a problem with their murmuring and their complaining. Did you know that? He had a problem with their unbelief. You know, God doesn't get upset at you because you question through a little bit of murmuring and complaining about what you've run into. God will grace you in that area. But when God gives you an answer, He expects you to obey that answer. And follow it. Because there is no temptation taking you, such as common to man. But God is able to make a way of escape for you. Are you ready for this? So you'll be able to bear it. Oh, so I'll be able to bear it? That's right. You'll bear up under the pressure that this world has to offer. And I got news for you people. I guarantee you, after today, concerning tomorrow, you don't know what's ahead for you tomorrow. It's just like the nation of Israel when it came out of that. They didn't know what was ahead for them. And God did not sit down with Moses in there and say, look, we're going to have a conference and we're going to develop a manual. And in this manual, I'm going to show the children of Israel everything they're going to face and how it will come out so that they will be peaceful. Mm-hmm. Now, what if you had that kind of manual? Come to the waters of Meribah, the bitter waters. And in this manual, he gave you, look up bitter waters. Oh, bitter waters. Oh, he turns them and makes them sweet. Hey, not a problem. So we come up to Meribah, the bitter waters. And what did they do? Same complaint. You want us to die out here without water? We can't drink this stuff? No, they had a manual. They didn't need to ask God. Do you know what your life for tomorrow is? You're ahead of them. You're ahead of those people. Why? You got an instruction manual in your lap. Where's my... Oh, there's my instruction on how to deal with this. But you know, we never do that. We just fall apart like a cheap watch. You know what? You all taught me that. I already knew how to walk in faith. I just gone the line right there. My wife will tell you that. But God said, look, you know what? You know who could not enter into the promised land? Moses. Why? Because Moses, being the head, did something he shouldn't have done. He did just the opposite of what God told him to do. The second time they came without water, he says, speak to the rock. He didn't say smite it. The first time he said, smite the rock, water will come out. The second one he said, speak to it. Moses got upset at the people. I don't know why he got upset at the people. And he took the rod and he struck that rock. And because he did that, he was now not going to enter in. And that was a teaching example. And you know what? If you're a leader among men, one thing you should do is not look to the judgments of God, but to lead people in the way that they should go and not strike them in the way that they should go. Because he struck Jesus with everything that mankind needed to be struck with. He took it out on his son so that the whole world can know that he has a wonderful empire. Put one hand on man, one on God, and bring the two impossibilities back together. And it's the love of God that brings the judgments of God, not the severity of God. And yet the church hasn't got a revelation yet that Jesus paid the price for their sin. And we come along and see some supernatural happening to the world and we turn and say, that's God judging your sin. He already judged it through Jesus. That's a lie sold out of the pit of hell. That's the wisdom of the devil working through people. You and I should say, no. They sin because that's their nature to sin. But I got good news. Even though there is Katrina's, we've got what we call a city that you can come to and escape all the death that is in this world. Are you guys following what I'm saying? And he's found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We serve a wonderful Father. We serve a loving God. And we serve a God that loves sinners. Hallelujah. He don't give up on mankind. Now, you've heard the statement, let your heart lead you. Do you know that that is so taught now to our society? It's taught in poems, it's taught in theaters, it's taught in school. Everyone is taught to follow their own heart. Matter of fact, we got ministers now say, follow your heart. Well, you know what? I'd say yes, amen to that. But is it predicated that your heart has been changed by God? Or is it predicated on the heart you presently have and you're going to just do your own heart? Now, I'm giving you a little clue how you can be successful with not feeling like a puppet on a string, and the sovereignty of God is what happens to you is what God intended all along. That kind of thinking, again, is an excuse to escape our responsibility of what we're to do. So, with that said, turn over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Are you guys getting something so far? You see, people, one thing that you should get in your thinking, more than anything else, this is what I got in my thinking from that wonderful man, Kenneth Hagin, and here it is. That God had created me, a kingdom for me to enter into, so that I could succeed in life and not fail. And boy, when I got that revelation, man, when ministers started preaching that God hated my guts, when I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, I had a hard time with those kind of messages. Now, in John chapter 5, let's go to verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after that stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. How many of you say that's a long time? When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you messed up. And the Jews therefore said to him, "Who was cured? Is it the Sabbath? Is it not lawful for you to carry about your bed?" That's what they're saying to the guy. And he answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they ask him, "Who is the man who said that to you? 'Take up your bed and walk?'" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple. Actually, there's another place where he said Jesus went searching for him and wouldn't rest till he found him. And notice, and he said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. He turned on Jesus. No. Hey, I know who the guy is. Now, why did Jesus seek him out? After all, Jesus healed him. Didn't need to seek him out. Why? He's healed. But Jesus went looking for the guy, found him, and said, "Hey, don't sin." Why? Because his body that couldn't function before started functioning quite well. And you have to use your imagination for the rest. Now, if everything is so sovereign in the way God intended it to function, then why would Jesus go and seek out the man? Because he knew the man was evidently going in the direction he shouldn't go and wanted to give him some insight. Don't go there because the worst thing should come upon you. I'm going to tell you something, people. The devil does not rest because you have a good day. The time you're most vulnerable to his attack is after your great victory in your life. And that's where we let down the most. I got news for you. Satan doesn't rest until he has all your lunch. That's his main objective. His main goal is to take you out. Why? Because he hates everything about you when it comes to being a success. Gosh, are you guys so educated that I can't even get an amen out of you? Jeez. Give me a break. I mean a good one. now, I want you to think about this. Jesus would not have went after him if he couldn't have made him another mistake and something worse come upon him. Let's go to another place. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I just want to establish something today. If everything is so sovereign and it's all pre-planned, what happens to you, then that's like saying, then let's be like one of them Jews that were coming out of the land of Egypt. We shouldn't run into any problems. We shouldn't run without food or water. And that isn't life is not good to us, people. Only what is at work within our heart is going to make us succeed in this life. Well, I don't understand why if they were Christians, why they got murdered. Well, Luke chapter 12 here. Let's read something that's very interesting. Start with verse 54. Then he also said to the multitudes, when you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather. And there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it you do not discern this time? And he was referring to the nation of Israel not discerning their Messiah in their midst. But yet they can tell when the weatherman gets on TV, they go, oh, we got it all figured out what the weather's going to be like. You know what people that really don't have a leading in their life, you know what they talk about? The weather. Now notice this. Yes, and why even yourselves do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge and the judge deliver you to the officer and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you have paid the very last mite. Now look at this. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such thing? In other words, they were doing what was right, going into a temple and offering the right kind of sacrifices, and Pilate had them murdered. Do you suppose this was set up by God because these guys, when they went to the temple, Jesus was saying, God really picked them out and said, these are the worst kind of sinners, snuff them good. That's the argument Jesus is bringing up here. You know what he's bringing up? You can discern the signs of the time, but you don't know what time it really is. Now notice this. I tell you no, but likewise, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Or those 18, and those 18 of whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You know what he's saying? When a person doesn't have a direct leading in their life with purpose, anything can happen to you. It's not just divinely designed by God. Just anything can happen to you. Because when you follow sin, the way of sin, you are definitely not being led by the Spirit of God. But yet Christians, they'll follow the way of sin. And when something does bad happen to them, say, well, honey, God, let me get into this thing. All you got to do is read your Bible. I don't know why that wool fell in on me. All I want is a drink of water. He also spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree, planted it in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And I know some Christians take this negative. I told you the Lord wants a dump on you. I had a Christian brother say, when I was telling him that just not anything that happens to you is divinely orchestrated of God. And when I was reading this to him, he said, I told you the Lord wants a dump on you. You know what kind of mind that is? Negative thinking. And he goes and says, listen, if it bears fruit, well, but if not after that, you can cut it down. And if indeed it makes fruit in the future, otherwise thou shalt cut it down, is what it says in the Greek. And what he was saying is that when you don't find somebody bearing good fruit, don't snuff it right away. Give it time for God to work on it. Give it time to get the right ingredients into it. And it's quite possibly this tree could bear fruit. But isn't it interesting? It's not up to God. It's not up to the innkeeper. It's up to the tree whether it wants to bear fruit or not. And that's why Jesus was making these statements right here. He was saying, hey, life doesn't come with a guarantee. But your kingdom is not of this world, and it comes with a guarantee. Amen. When you run out of water, God's got more water. When you run out of food, God's got more food. It's just that we don't get a revelation that we have to be careful how we travel through life. When we travel through life, we've got to make sure that we're following a direct leading of the Spirit of God and not just going through life and falling to sin and losing our way and come up with these excuses all the time. Then something bad happened to me. What are you doing? I know all about God and I have His Bible and I'm a Christian and I don't understand why it happened to me. Where was you when the time when this thing happened? And that's none of your business. Anyway. Some Christians walk anywhere they want to walk and think that God's going to grace them anyway. When God's Word says, hey, look, you haven't been called to receive the cursing of the air. You've been called to receive a blessing. The Bible says, even to those of us that have had bad relationships, how many of you made mistakes in relationships? See, the devil likes to come right along and say, well, see, you were married once, now you're married again, something's wrong with you. Well, maybe there's nothing wrong with you, except you're picking the wrong tree to look for fruit off of, that it's not there. And the devil will turn around and tell you, the fruit is you. You're the fruity one. Yeah, because I often wondered, man, that woman is something special, man. Why would he treat her that way? Well, then you find out what he's like. He's a weirdo. Doesn't want nothing to do with the things of God. And because of the moment of truth, darling. You're the pure, most beautiful thing that ever came my way. Are you like them other people? Oh, no, I'm not like those other men. Don't you believe that, dear? Well, I don't know whether I want to go down there. Don't worry, baby. The road you go down with me, ooh. They don't tell you what the road looks like till after you hook up with them. Then you go, yeah! Should we stop there? Okay. Next week we'll get into Scripture and I want to show you some things. Yeah, when Sue rolls her eyes, that's it. Stand up, everybody. The point I'm trying to get across is this. Not everything that happens to you is because it was divinely appointed by God. But I'll tell you, whatever any situation you get into, God has divinely appointed a way of escape for you. Life is too uncertain. It really is. Kind of like the service this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your wonderful people. And Father, we've been called out of Egypt into a land that flows with milk and honey. And your purpose is for our best. And Father, we are to be examples for a world that doesn't know Jesus. And Father, if we're not the example that the world needs to see, then they'll categorize us with them. Father, I want your people to live an abundant life, live a full life. And how they do that is to follow your Spirit and not be disappointed in what the world has to offer, but go through the fire and not be burnt. Go through the waters and they shall not overtake us. Hallelujah, because you're such a good God. Father, you haven't called us so that we could not fulfill our destiny, but you called us so we could. All we have to do is surrender to you and let you live through us, and we will come through. So as we close this service, Father, I did sense you calling someone into the kingdom. We want to be very, very careful to welcome them into the kingdom of God when we close this service. Father, if there's somebody here that has been saved but never been filled with the Holy Ghost, we want to lay hands on them and let them receive the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Father, if there be anybody that has been out of fellowship with you and wants to come back in, Father, we want to pray for them and lead them right back into full fellowship. And Father, if there's somebody that needs physical healing, we want to pray for them that they be healed in Jesus' name. For we believe in the manna, the bread from heaven that you have given us. And with that said, when I close the service, we have a door in the back there. And if you feel led to come and you're just a visitor today and want to ask questions or looking for a church, we have that hospitality room. And I'll tell you what, they did a good job of fixing it up for you. Love to have you come in there. And right when I get through here, I'll go straight back there and meet with you. If you're new here or just visiting, would like to ask questions. So with that said, Father, we now dismiss this service. And Father, walk with your people in grace and mercy abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.